Let's go to Philippians chapter 2.
It's like you got a front row seat.
Philippians chapter 2. That's where we're going to start. I wanted to spend a little time this morning looking at some things regarding the word of life, which comes up in this chapter.
What book are we in, Pete?
We're in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. I think what I'd like to do is we're going to get started here in verse 2. We're going to get a little bit of a running start. This is such a great chapter. Verse 2 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, or fill me with joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness or in humility of mind. Let each esteem other better or more excellent than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind or this thinking be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This esteeming others better than yourselves, not doing things out of strife or vainglory. A tremendous example of that is in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And I'm just going to, you can write it down if you haven't read it. But it's the record of Jesus Christ, and it was the night when he was going to give himself over to be crucified on behalf of men, mankind. And it was at that supper that he was having, which has become known as the Last Supper, with his men. And there was a point during the meal where he took off his outer garments. He took, I forget what the garment was called, but it was wrapped around his waist. And it says that he washed the feet of his disciples. Do you remember that record?
Yes.
To wash the feet was the lowliest job for the lowliest servant. And what Jesus Christ was doing was he was exhibiting humility. And then he says, "I do this for an example." The example wasn't that they wash one another's feet. That wasn't the point of what he was doing. What he was doing is that he was doing the humblest job for these men. Isn't that something? He was humbling himself completely in that culture. And what he was teaching these men is to conduct yourselves in this way. You walk and serve and love with this kind of humility. Peter even said, "Hey, look, don't wash my feet, Lord." And he said, "If you don't let me do this, if you don't get this, you have no part in me." So you don't get it, Peter. So Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, who was was man's Redeemer, humbled himself to the end. And we're going to read it. Let's just keep reading here. Verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That's a rough translation. A better translation would be, "He did not consider being equal with God plunder for personal gain." He didn't use his position as Son of God, see, to lord over people. Isn't that something? He did the exact opposite of that. But made himself or emptied himself of reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made or being made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore,
God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. God did the exalting here. Jesus Christ didn't exalt himself. God exalted him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should or is to bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, or is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What we're going to get into here, and we're going to see, is that this life that Jesus Christ came to bring, and it's because he paid the price to redeem men out from what Adam caused. And it's God that exalted him, because Jesus Christ carried this out by his own free will. Jesus Christ fulfilled all that God had promised for man's redemption. And it's God that made Jesus Christ Lord. Sometimes we use the phrase, that we make Jesus Christ Lord. And I understand how that's used and what that means. But really, God set Jesus Christ as Lord. He is Lord. It's not that I make him Lord. He is Lord. And there will be a day where every tongue, everybody will acknowledge that. Because God made him Lord. See? We'll keep going here. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed God, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation or deliverance with fear and trembling. That fear and trembling is an idiom, and it means reverence and obedience. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings or grumblings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. And it should read, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse, and the word nation is the word for age, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding, and it should read, holding the word of life. Okay. You shine as lights, holding the what? The word of life. Okay. We hold that. When we hold that word of life, we shine as lights. This is one of the things God's word is called. It's called the word of life. It's God's word that makes known God. It makes known his plan for man's redemption. It makes known that life that Jesus Christ came to bring. That's something. And that's why it's one of the reasons why it's called Word of Life. There are some, well, we'll see that. We'll see a little bit. There are some wonderful, great, the Word of God is a rule book for living now. But it imparts, by making known Jesus Christ, that life which is eternal life. See? Because this life now is temporary. It's temporary. That which Jesus Christ came to bring is eternal. And that's what we're going to look at. I want you to turn, please, to... let's go to the Gospel of John, then we're going to go to 1 Timothy. And we're going to read some familiar verses, I think. Gospel of John, chapter 10. It's a beautiful section here. Verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. This is in reference to a shepherd. Those sheep would oftentimes be in be like a low stone wall, and the herd would be there, and there would be an opening in that wall for the sheep to pass through, and at night the shepherd would sleep there.
See? So that the sheep were protected. Here Jesus Christ is saying, I'm the door. Verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what?
Life.
And that they might have it more abundantly. See? Speaking of that life that Jesus Christ came to bring. Now I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 8. Or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Did I write down the wrong verse? God bless me. Hold on, give me 1 minute.
16.
No. Well, okay. Until I figure out what verse I wanted, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. Let's start in verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now he's writing to Timothy here. Verse 9, who hath saved us? According to the power of God, who, referring back to God, hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Now that word holy, I think many of you understand as the word, it simply means separated out, it's sanctified. It's come to mean a lot of other things in culture. I understand that. But the way it's used in Scripture, it just simply means you're separated out. See? You're separated out. Not according to our works. It's not our works. It's not about our works. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. See? It's made clear or made evident. See, by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that which God had promised regarding the Christ, regarding man's Redeemer, appeared. That's Jesus Christ. He came. God promised it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam, who had dominion over all of God's creation, had rebelled, thereby losing life. God said in that day, you're going to what? You're going to die. And he lost spirit. He lost his connection with God. And a lot of changes took place. But what God did right out of the gate is he promised a Redeemer. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. See, it was made clear when he came. Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That good news. That good news regarding Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? He has abolished death. And the word abolished here means to render inactive. To render it inactive. And we'll see a little bit more about that in a minute. Let's go to Titus. Flip a couple pages. We're going to go in one direction now. Titus 1. Oh, this is great. Let's just read verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith or the believing of God's elect, and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after or according to godliness. That word godliness is going to come up again. Very briefly, it's a word that means, let me state it this way. It's the relationship with God that issues from a great awe or a great reverence of God. See? When we spend time with God's word and we learn about this God who gave his only begotten son, this God who so loved men, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When you learn about him, you just get in awe of him. It's amazing. And then there's a relationship from the heart that issues from that. That's godliness. See? That's the best way I know how to explain it. Which is after godliness or according to godliness in hope of eternal life. See? Which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, or promised before the time of the ages. See? Isn't that something? That hope of eternal life. And the reason why it's called a hope is because Jesus Christ has not yet returned. But he will. He will. Just as sure as he came the first time. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. This is great. We are moving in one direction. Titus 3. And we're going to pick it up in verse 4. It says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done." See, and that, well, let's just keep reading, then we'll come back. "But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Isn't that beautiful? "That being justified or made righteous by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And then the next phrase is, this is a faithful saying, is literally, "The word is faithful." The word is faithful. "The kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man was demonstrated in the giving of his Son." In the giving of his Son. Because it is the giving of his Son that made available that hope of eternal life. See? And it was sealed. The deal was sealed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's something. He's the firstborn, the word says, among many brethren. This isn't a game. This isn't, you know, a religion among other religions. That's not what this is. See? Jesus Christ was marked out as Lord by the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ is going to return. And we have the proof born within in that we have spirit. That's right. Again, the word is faithful. Let's go to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, we're going to start in verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge," or the acknowledgement, "of God and of Jesus our Lord." Verse 3, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us," or literally it should read, "by called us by his glory and virtue."
whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or fleshly cravings. Okay. You know, it's really something. That word of life is of incalculable benefit to our lives now. See. But the greatness of what Jesus Christ has brought is that eternal life. Okay. Isn't that something? Well, let's just keep reading. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your believing virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. And these things are things that issue from that divine nature. See, when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we confessed Jesus as Lord, we believe that God raised him from the dead, we are what the word refers to as born again. That's that regeneration of Holy Spirit we just read about. It's really something. We belong to God. And it's that nature that issues from what we've been made in Christ. See? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or that acknowledgement of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is, the word blind is the word nearsighted. See? And he can't see afar off. And he's forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. What a awesome verse. Nearsighted instead of seeing afar off. See? What Jesus Christ has accomplished is so much bigger than this right here. This life right here. It's wonderful. I mean, we get to walk by Spirit. We can love. We can manifest what God has wrought in Christ. We've got Spirit born within. I mean, those are some great things. It's awesome. See? But we're not nearsighted. See, our eyes are on the hope, which is where we're going to land here. Do you understand? We live in light of that return of Jesus Christ. We live in light of what it's really all about. Let's keep reading. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election steadfast. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall or stumble, is that word. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? For so an entrance will it be issued abundantly into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we are one with Christ. We belong to Christ. We're sons of God by seed. But there's a day coming. There's a day coming when we will enter physically into that kingdom. See? And the proof of that is that, you know, I keep saying that. We're going to go backwards just for a moment, and then we're going to finish up. I want you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. God bless you. Thank you. Okay. I just need to, just give me one moment. Here it is. Oh, where do you start here, huh? Mm-hmm. Let's start in verse 10. Well, let's start in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, referring to God's good pleasure, which he purposed in, should read him, and it's referring to Christ, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance in Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And what was predetermined by God, his counsel was this: anybody who believes on Jesus Christ is part of this inheritance. That's it. Remember we read a little earlier, not by our own works of righteousness. See? That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that what? Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed. You're sealed up by God with that Holy Spirit. And then it says, of promise. So we're sealed with Holy Spirit, but it's a spirit of promise. Promise of what?
Eternal.
Right. Next verse. Which is the, and it's the word earnest, is the Greek word which means a deposit. See? It's the token or the deposit. See, just like it's the same thing we do. You're selling your car, and I come to look at the car, and I want to buy it, but I don't have the money with me, or I don't have a cashier's check, or I don't have cash, or however it is you want for me to buy that car, I give you a deposit. Here's $200. That is the deposit that I will be back. See, for that car. I will redeem that car in full. Here's the deposit. That's what this word is. So, which is the deposit of our what? Inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Isn't that beautiful? We're the purchased possession. We were paid for with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to God. And Holy Spirit is the deposit on our redemption at the return of Jesus Christ, eternal life. Now, let's go to 1 John, and that's where we'll close. 1 John chapter 5. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's so great because we have Spirit. We've got the deposit on what's coming. See, we don't have to be nearsighted. 1 John chapter 5. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record or the witness that God gave of his Son. See? And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has what?
Life.
See? And he that has not the Son of God has not what?
Life.
That's it. And he was marked out by the resurrection from the dead. Nobody else has been resurrected from the dead, never to die again, outside of Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn, that he might be preeminent in all things. He's the one that God is sending back to gather his church. Isn't that something? And we have eternal life by simply believing on him. That's it. It's not by works. It's not by any of those things. It's solely by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that has the Son, to have the Son is to believe on him. That's it.
See, that's a God of grace. Isn't that something? Anyway, he that has a son has life. He that has not the Son of God doesn't have life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, isn't that beautiful? That you may what? Know that you have eternal life. See, that's right. Boy, it's just, this is what we live in light of. See, there are so many verses we could turn to. It talks in Corinthians about looking at the things that are not seen. See? Rather than the things that are seen. These things are temporary. It's not that they're not important, you know, but they're temporary. See? The things that are not seen are eternal. And that's what it's all about. That's where we want to keep our hearts. That's where we want to keep our heads. See? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's such a great way to live. And it's of such great benefit to our lives now. See? To our lives now. Isn't that beautiful? So, we've got a lot to be thankful for. I know the past few weeks I've been going back to just the importance of God's Word. But it is important. It really is. It really is the Word of God. That's what you start to see. The more of the Word you get, you see, holy buckets. This really is the Word of God. This really is true. This is awesome. It really is light. See? And that's so exciting. It's so exciting because it just puts everything in the right perspective. See? And you start to taste that freedom that Jesus Christ talks about in the Gospel of John. They that know the truth, see? Really something. And it's not that we, you know, we lord over anybody. Jesus Christ didn't. We just love people. That's what we do. We love people. You know? And we can talk about Jesus Christ. Some won't believe. Well, you know what? God loves them too. You know, he's not willing that any should perish, the Word says. So, it's pretty awesome what we get to be when we hold that Word of life. Pretty awesome. Because this world needs lights. Right? It does. So, amen? Amen. All right.